Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Georgia versus Alabama in between the hedges. What more do you want on a Saturday night? There's something about the Alabama team right now, the program and the fan base, that I think is really confident. This is the one we get to find out. Can you go on the road and beat what I think is the best head coach in college football in Kirby Smart?
What is up, everybody? We have reached Wednesday. Thank you, as usual, for joining us, making Crane & Company daily watch or listen. And we've done our power rankings. We've done our college football playoff rankings. You can check out those videos we did in the past couple days. We got all our previews out there. And since we have arrived at Wednesday, if you know anything about this show, it's picks day. Now, typically, we have a special guest. We were supposed to have Tim Brando on. Unfortunately, last minute, he had a scheduling conflict. But don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be upset. The boys are here.
I'll do it.
And we're ready to make some picks. We'll fly solo as a three-man team, as much sense as that makes. David Cohn, former mission correct to my left. Blaine Crane, the blonde bomber, as they call him, to my right. And I don't mean that in a
terroristic. I can be interpreted in many different ways.
I don't mean that
I'm interpreting in a positive
way. I am too.
Yeah,
I drop tanks.
Positive way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am too.
Okay. Again, make sure if you're not subscribed that you subscribe. We've got, I think this is the most games we've picked.
I'm in L.
You're in L.
I'm in deep love.
You're in love. Deep love.
Slate this week.
We got seven games to pick on this loaded slate. And what I want in the comments, okay, I want you guys to put what do you think will be the best game of the weekend and give us your winners, all right, whether you agree or disagree. Have no problem with you explaining why. But again, just appreciate you being here. Guys, we've talked about this slate. I mean, we went through all the previews, this, that, and the other. But let's go ahead and get into this because we're going to be here for a little bit. Let's start off with USC, their first big test on the road at Illinois, who got absolutely murdered by Indiana last week, 63-10. And, you know, Coney, I think a lot of people are saying, well, Illinois is just not that good. Why would you pick Illinois? But we don't know enough about USC to sit here and be like, oh, this is obvious. What's the line on this game?
Right now, the line is -6.5 USC. Remember, this game is at Illinois, over under, going off at 60.5. Illinois money line is +195.
Again, you know, it's a great spot for USC, but the Illinois embarrassment factor. Because we know they've got some good players on this team. We know about Altmyer. We know that Bielema's done a pretty good job of recruiting talent at Illinois. I don't think they're totally out of it yet. David, I want to start with you, man. Where are you leaning on this one? I mean, well, a little Big Ten matchup that's kind of weird still, seeing USC in the Big Ten. But where are you leaning on this one?
Man, I'll tell you, I came in here trying not to overreact to Illinois' loss to Indiana, but it's hard not to overreact when you lose 63-10. Yeah. And people have been asking me all week, does this say more about Illinois or Indiana? Illinois is a good football team, so it has to say more about how good Indiana is. Once again, Kirk Cignetti has proven he can reload. I just wonder when people are going to start hopping on the USC train, man, because they really have it rolling. Jaden Maiava at quarterback is playing really well. I think the 6.5 points on the road all the way across the country at Illinois is kind of crazy right now. We'll find out. But right now, I like USC to win the football game. How can I not after what I saw last week in that Indiana game?
No, and I understand it. It's logical, and I'm sure a lot of people in the comments will be picking USC as well. Where I'm at on it, if you watched that Illinois-Indiana game, you have the block punt, right? And it all kind of started going downhill. After that, Indiana had the momentum, kept the momentum, and kept pressing. I'm just wondering, if you're Illinois and you're playing this game at home and you had these playoff hopes and you said all this stuff, or Bielema said all this stuff in the offseason, my gut is telling me to pick USC. Because I think they're the better team. And I'm always going to go with my gut. I think the 6.5 is too much. I think USC wins this game by a field goal. I do think it's going to be higher scoring. I think USC wins this game 34-31, somewhere around there. And if that happens, what I don't want to see is people coming on saying, oh, well, USC really isn't that good because Illinois got murdered at Indiana and USC only beat them by three. No, you're facing a team with their back against the wall that got embarrassed, that, like I said, we know has some good personnel, and they're fighting for their playoff lives. And if they lose this one, they're 0-2 in the Big Ten, and you're pretty much out, in my opinion, of having a chance to play in the Big Ten championship. So I think it's, I wouldn't be surprised if Illinois led this game for most of it, but I think USC finds a way. I've got the Trojans 34-31.
Yeah, well, I think one guy who doesn't get talked enough about, in my opinion, is Jade Maiva. I mean, the kid's 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Yeah. And when you go on the road and play a team like Illinois, whose defense is very good at getting turnovers, maybe not as much as the Indiana game, you know, what's going to give in that situation? And one pleasant surprise to me, and I know it didn't look great versus Michigan State, USC's defense is playing pretty good. They got a couple cats on there, especially in the linebacker room, that can roll around. I mean, number one in the nation, EPA, and dropbacks and points expected. So I just don't know. And at the end of the day, even coming off a block punt, you get beat 63-10.
Yeah, and I'm not saying
by,
that was
63-10 by a team. And Indiana probably could have beat them worse if they really want to. I think USC comes in this game, even across the country. I think they dominate this game. So I like USC -6.5. I think you can play it up probably more than a touchdown. Give me USC 41, Illinois 17.
Yeah, and that Michigan State team looks improved offensively to me as well. I don't think it's this.
41-17?
Yeah. Same.
Just so a another, spanking.
So if that happens,
just Illinois
happens,
2 weeks in a row.
In for Illinois.
Yeah, I don't know. What can you look at this Illinois team right now and feel excited about coming into this game? Right, the best thing you have on defense is getting turnovers. You're about to play a team who doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, their quarterback's on 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and their defense is pretty damn good. And also, USC can turn around and run the ball. I just don't think USC gets talked about enough because they haven't legitimately played anybody other than Michigan State. I feel like this might be somewhat of a coming out party for USC this Saturday.
Well, someone was telling me that Jaden Maiva's numbers so far through 4 games are outpacing Caleb Williams through 4 games during his Heisman Trophy year. Heismans aren't won in September, though. They're won in November.
Sure.
Are we going to find out more? I mean, last weekend was a great test with Texas Tech, Utah, Indiana, Illinois. We found out so many new data points on all these teams. Is this one where maybe USC comes in and they lose by 2 touchdowns and we know more
about that? Well, again, I think this and the next one are the hardest ones to pick on the board because of the unknowns that you bring up. I mean, you know, we talk about Illinois getting beat down by Indiana, but USC, while they did beat Michigan State, was it 45-31, something like that, ended up being the final score. They're not in the spotlight the way that they typically are, but I think that's good for Lincoln Riley. I think it's better that way for USC as opposed to these huge expectations that everybody has being thrown on them where they haven't been able to live up to them in the past. Now, if they keep winning, we're going to find that out again. But by that point in time, I mean, you're what, 5-6 games in and you pretty much know who you are. So, all right, it's USC across the board in the comments. Let us know, are you taking Illinois or are you taking USC, and give us a score. The next game, let's go to the SEC. We're going to go to the SEC for the next two. LSU at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the line on this game, Blaine, is it still Ole Miss -1.5?
Yeah, right now it's Ole Miss -1.5 for the money line. LSU's going off at +100. Basically a pick 'em in this game.
Yeah.
Over under at 55.5.
And typically they give you, if you're at home, and they, you know, it's two teams that they feel like are equally matched, they're going to give you a little bit of a bump to the home team. So this is truly a pick 'em. It's not even 2.5. Typically you get that 2.5 point bump at home. That's about as high as they'll go. Maybe get to 3, maybe 3.5. But it's 1.5. So this is about as purely a pick 'em as Vegas can give you without saying they think they're going to tie. And I have gone back and forth on this one. LSU, we had them high in the power rankings and they deserve it. Had them, you know, most of us had them pretty decently high in our college football playoff rankings that we did yesterday. And you're playing with a backup quarterback in Trinidad Chambliss, who has balled out going against an LSU defense that Blake Baker has kind of reintroduced that LSU defense to the world that we were used to seeing growing up. Harold Perkins is playing great. Whit Weeks is dating Lane Kiffin's daughter, who's you know, Whit plays for LSU.
Going
to Ole Miss, like Lane said, take the over. You know, again, I've gone back and forth on this one. And for most of the week, I was going to take the complimentary football approach that LSU will be more disciplined than Ole Miss will, and they'll win the game. But sitting here today and going back and watching it, watching how good I thought Ole Miss played against a Tulane team that I have respect for, the biggest question was the defense. I'm going with Ole Miss. I got Ole Miss beating LSU. I think it's going to be, again, what's the over-under in this one? I know it's
54 and a half.
54 and a half. Give me Ole Miss 30, LSU 27 in a classic. In a classic. Is it a walk-off field goal at the end? Possibly. I think Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss find a way at home to stay undefeated. And you talk about throwing a wrench in what a lot of people, have thought after watching LSU beat Clemson and kind of seeing this defensive resurgence. I've got Ole Miss at home.
Okay. I woke up every day this week confident and prepared to take LSU. I felt really good about that. Louisiana State, the way they're playing defense travels. Ole Miss rushing defense, not great.
Not great.
Fewest yards they've given up on the ground, 172. Gave up over 200 to Arkansas. Felt really good about LSU until there was some breaking news this week with Lane Kiffin's daughter publicly coming out and dating Whit Weeks, the LSU linebacker. Now, as the father of daughters, I'm saying this can't stand.
No.
You can't abide this if you're a dad. Lane Kiffin's coming out, take the over. I'm going to ride with that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ride with that statement win. That's your daughter. Have some pride. I'm going to take Ole Miss at home as well. You had 30-27?
I got 30-27.
Go a little tighter. 28-27. Ooh, the one-point victory, which would be the over by the hook.
It's not crazy. Look, at the end of the day, to your point, I've got an 8-month-old daughter. She's not going to date. She's going to marry a European prince. We've already decided that in our household.
Keep it American.
No, I'm not. I'm a spy for us. I'm a spy for us.
He just admitted.
Not anymore.
The worst
not anymore.
Spy ever.
No. Or the best.
Are you also a hitman?
You never think a spy would come out and say they're a spy. Y'all need to watch some documentaries. Blaine, you can't have your daughter's boyfriend come over to your house and take over your grill. That's basically what would happen.
I don't know. Is Whit Weeks trying to do that?
He's trying to go to Ole Miss and win. I don't think he's going up there to lose.
You can't blame Whit Weeks. I mean, I'd blame Lane Kiffin's daughter. Why is all the fall on Whit Weeks?
Yeah, why aren't you with Nussmeier?
At the end of the day, why didn't she date an Ole Miss guy?
Yeah, that's true.
You know? I mean, how's this on Whit? Whit, I mean, respect. At the end of the day, I just remember sitting on this set, I believe it was week zero, right, and watching y'all just pick against LSU. Right, against Clemson, right?
It was week one. What the hell's the difference?
And I'm glad we're doing this again because I'm going with LSU in this football game. A couple reasons why. One, if LSU was starting a new quarterback, right, going into Ole Miss, that environment, I can understand that. Garrett Nussmeier's 30, all right? There's nothing out here that's going to surprise him going on the road. And I will sit here and say this. And I don't think Vegas knows this either. I think I might be the only one.
Oh, you know better than Vegas.
Vegas knows how good this LSU defense really is. I mean, the most points they've given up this year is 10. 10 points. I mean, hell, that's as tough to do in general. The linebacking crew, Whit Weeks, Harold Perkins, his brother, what Blake Baker does on defense, just absolute smoke here. Is he coming? I don't know. Is there 16 people on the field? Maybe, but maybe not. You're safe. Oh, my God, you're in danger, right? And then you can turn around the offensive side, say, hey, we don't have to throw it 40 times to win this game. Aaron Anderson doesn't have to have 300 yards to win this game. We can turn around. We can hand the ball off. We can play our type of football and rely on our defense. I'm going with LSU in this game. I think it's going to be close just because Trinidad Chambliss is that good of a player. Ole Miss defense, I do not trust. Give me LSU 31-24.
Before we move on, let me ask y'all this. Let's say, regardless of who wins the game, it's high scoring. And Ole Miss balls on offense against this LSU defense. All right, doesn't matter if LSU wins 35-32 or Ole Miss wins 35-32, whatever. I don't think you can let Austin Simmons come back and play quarterback until Chambliss shows. I mean, again, I know he's beat up and it sucks, but we've seen this happen multiple times, including the reason some would argue the greatest quarterback of all time got a chance is because of
this week that happened.
Yeah, with Drew Bledsoe talking about Tom Brady. I'm not saying Trinidad Chambliss is Tom Brady.
Well, you never know.
But you can't. You ball out against this defense.
Yeah.
Dog, I gotta leave you in. Like, you're giving us our best chance.
Well, the good thing is the locker room knows.
Anytime
you have a situation like this, the locker room knows who gives you the best chance to win. And if that ends up being Trinidad Chambliss, I hate that for Austin Simmons that it happened because of an injury rather than your on-field performance. But look, the Wally Pipp Lou Gehrig story is an iconic story for a reason. Sometimes it happens like that.
That's exactly right. All right, let's stay in the SEC for this next one. In the comments, tell us LSU Ole Miss, who you got, what's the score? Blaine, I want to start with you on this one. Auburn And we all know everybody's a fan of somebody. If you're not, I think you should be federally investigated, but that's just my opinion. Auburn goes on the road to College Station.
Okay.
We released our preview of this game yesterday, an in-depth look at it. How are you feeling right now? What's the line on the game? What's the total on the game? And who are you picking?
Right now, the line is -6.5 Texas A&M. This game is at Texas A&M with the over-under at 52.5. Auburn money line going off at +188 in this game. I'm taking Texas A&M. Okay. And the reason I'm taking Texas A&M is the reason you brought up the other day on the show. If it came down to it, because this will be a close game, just the way these two teams are built, and one team needed a drive or one team needed a stop, right? I trust Texas A&M and Mike Elko way more than I trust Auburn and Hugh Freeze. I mean,
would you feel that same way if this game was at Auburn?
Hugh Freeze has the worst win percentage in the SEC when it comes to one possession football games, mm-hmm. right? And I don't think that's magically going to change. I think with the receivers at Texas A&M, they have a quarterback who they can trust in Marcel Reed, who knows who he is. And right now, if you come out in one high and sack the box, I don't know if Auburn can beat you with Jackson Arnold's arm. And this game being at Texas A&M, you think Oklahoma was loud. This stadium is going to be just as loud. I trust what Mike Elko does. I trust Marcel Reed. And I trust that if Texas A&M, just like versus Notre Dame, when they have to have it on fourth down, scoring a touchdown to win that football game and watching Auburn fall apart like they've done since Hugh Freeze has gotten to Auburn in a close game. So there's no reason, there's no trust when it comes to me picking Auburn. So that's why I'm going with A&M.
Let me ask quickly. If this game was at Auburn, would you pick Auburn or would you still, if there was one drive to win it? Because Marcel Reed brought A&M all the way back at Auburn last year and they dropped a two-point conversion.
No, I'd still pick
tie the game in overtime. All right, David Cone, Auburn at Texas A&M. What say you?
Auburn will have more success running the football against Texas A&M than they did against Oklahoma, but not as much success as they did against Baylor, where they rushed for over 300 yards. So if they're somewhere in the middle there, is it closer to the performance they had against Baylor or closer to the Oklahoma performance? And if they are able to run the football better, how does that impact Jackson Arnold? Is he able to deliver the football through the air better because receivers are more open? How is he in the pocket? Is he going to continue holding on to the football? And then on the defensive side, what's really interesting is Auburn gave up over 400 passing yards to Baylor. They won that game by 2 touchdowns. They put on an incredible performance against Oklahoma, and they lost that game. So where does that leave you right now if you're an Auburn fan? I watched Marcel Reed and Texas A&M go on the road to South Bend and snatch a victory when it looked like they were going to lose that game. I haven't seen Auburn do that yet. Right now, I feel most comfortable in taking the Aggies at home 27-20.
All right. Yesterday, if you watched, again, the preview that we did of this game, to Blaine's point, how can you trust Auburn in the big moment when all they've done is find ways to lose games? And you know, it's not just against the Alabamas. It's not just against, you know, Georgia when you have a chance to beat them in the fourth quarter. Go back and watch the Vandy game from a year ago. Go back and watch the Oklahoma game from a year ago. Whether it's at home or on the road, this team has shown you outside of one time where, again, against A&M, you drop a two-point conversion in whatever overtime that was and lose the game. It's about the other team having to lose it, Auburn not winning it. But you brought up a great point, David, about the run game. And Auburn's lack of run success against Oklahoma put it all on Jackson Arnold's arm against skinny coverage to beat him on the road, and he couldn't do it. Whether that was not throwing it when you got Malcolm Simmons running wide open on a post, whether that was throwing it and missing the receiver, because I'll be honest with you, I thought that the catches that Cam Coleman made outside of the back shoulder touchdown weren't great throws.
No.
The first one was underthrown. Mm-hmm. It's just Cam Coleman being a great player. And then obviously it wasn't Jackson Arnold who threw that deep pass to Cam Coleman on the trick play that he was pass interfere with that they didn't call it. So I get why everybody is picking A&M. But something in my heart of hearts is telling me that Auburn's ability to run the ball in this game will actually keep Marcel Reed and them off the field a decent amount. Because the run game's not just about getting yards and scoring points. You're also keeping that other offense on the sideline. And at this point, after A&M did break through and beat Notre Dame, everybody's thinking, all right, here we go. A&M has turned the corner. They're about to start turning up. They're going to take the next step. I think this Auburn offensive line's embarrassed, and they should be embarrassed. The first time you play a team of equal or greater value to you that doesn't have two high safeties, you got pushed around. whether it was an even box or a heavy box, you got pushed around. I don't think that's who this Auburn offensive line is. I've got Auburn going into College Station and beating the Aggies, despite all the things we've said, because they're embarrassed. I think they're embarrassed by the way that they've played in close games and big games. Auburn beats Texas A&M 27-23. We're going to go on the instant reaction show right after, and I think we're going to look back at the run game because Jackson Arnold can't beat teams with his arm alone, but I don't think he's going to have to in this one. Give me the Auburn Tigers.
And again, with Jackson Arnold, it's not just the arm, but the decision-making in the pocket, which all of that is about playing quarterback. There's no problem with the arm strength. But from a rush yard standpoint, is there a number you have in mind that Auburn needs to hit in order to win this game?
I'm not gonna say a total number. I'm gonna give you a per carry average. I think if Auburn gets over 3.2 yards a carry, I'm including sacks in this as well in the rushing yard total, I think they win the game.
Okay.
I think that's the number for me. Because Auburn has a weird way of, when everybody is counting them out, finding a way to do something crazy. Now, they'll probably go and blow some game down the stretch if you've ever been on this Auburn roller coaster.
Let's take it 1 week at a time.
Yeah, but I've got Auburn beating A&M, and I'm sure the A&M fans, which I'm going on TexAgs Friday, are going to let me hear about it, which is fine. Boys, there's a huge slate this weekend in college football, but the second most important thing outside of your team winning is what you're putting on the grill. All right? And just like in sports, recruiting matters. It's the lifeblood. Well, your grill's recruiting is the meat that you're bringing in. And that's why you need to make sure that it's 100% American meat. And that's why we're Good Ranchers subscribers. And you should be too. And it's why Good Ranchers is essential in our routine. Now, like I said, their meat, it's 100% American. It's from local farms and ranches, and it's delivered straight to your door. Steak, chicken. I mean, they've got everything at the end of the day, and it's a fantastic deal. Because if you subscribe to any Good Ranchers box today and you use our code Booster, that's B-O-O-S-T-E-R, you get your pick of free meat for life. Use our code Booster. You get an extra $40 off plus free meat for life. It's one of the greatest deals that human beings have ever been given.
My butcher's bundle got here yesterday, delivered to the front door. The wife unpacks it, steak on the skillet within 30 minutes of when the package got here.
See, now you're getting me excited, because when your box comes, that means mine's like 2 days.
It's on its way.
So head over to goodranchers.com, use code Booster. Welcome to the table. Welcome to the fam. All right, let's go to the Big Ten. Biggest game this week in the Big Ten. Sorry, USC, Illinois. Sorry, Ohio State, Washington. It's Oregon at Penn State. David, you played in the Big Ten. You played quarterback there. We broke this game down. We got a full preview of it out. How are you feeling? Where are you leaning? But first, what's the line on this one, Blaine?
Right now, the line is sitting -3.5 Penn State. This game is at Penn State, over under 52.5. Money line for Oregon going off at +138.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised to see the line over a field goal for Penn State, even though they're at home, just because of the way that Oregon has looked so far this year. Honestly, the way that they've looked and Dante Moore's looked is more effective than they did at the beginning of the year last year. And they went undefeated and won the Big Ten their first year in the league. But as you know, I had Penn State winning the national championship this year because I believe James Franklin can get over that hump. Is Drew Aller the type of quarterback with this roster around him, 2,000-yard backs behind him? You bring in guys like Hudson from USC to play wide receiver, and everything that James Franklin has built up on the defensive side of the football for that Penn State program, is this the year where they can win the big football games like this, and not just in the regular season, but take that momentum into the college football playoff? This is the type of litmus test to me that you need to pass at home to prepare you to go on the road to Columbus, which you're going to get in a few weeks against the Buckeyes. I've got Penn State winning this football game. Right now, I got 27-24.
Again, if you've watched anything we've done all week in this, and you probably know where I'm leaning, I will always go back to what I have seen and just off instinct, watching Oregon, whether it's against Northwestern, whether it's against Oregon State. Oregon does some really good things. Dante Moore is a stud. They've got really, really good skill players. Where I'm worried about Oregon is their weakness, in my opinion, in stopping the run is literal kryptonite. And they're basically the same color as kryptonite is as Oregon for what Penn State wants to do. Not that Drew Aller can't throw the ball. I don't think he's a fantastic passer by any stretch of the imagination, but he throws it well enough if there's a legitimate run game to be able to hurt you with Kotal Nicki, the OC, and the way he calls it. I like Penn State's running ability with that two-headed monster running back. I don't think Oregon is going to be able to slow down Penn State enough offensively to not have to make Dante Moore take chances down the field. Not that Dante Moore isn't going to hit some. He's going to hit some. And I know there's some questions about Penn State's defense in stopping the run. I got sent a message the other day talking about Penn State is 112th nationally in busted drive rate, which means that you have an offensive drive that doesn't gain a yard. 0 yards or 1 yard.
Who leads the nation?
Oregon leads the nation in lack of drives that don't gain yards. Okay. They're one of the best. But the run game is going to be the difference here with Allen, with Singleton, when it matters, when you have to put the game away late, if it's tight. I think Penn State finds a way to do that. Give me the Nittany Lions at home, 34-24. Give me Penn State.
Well, kind of the same thing with me. Catron Allen and Nick Singleton last year when they played, Catron had 130 yards, Nick had 120. As a team, Penn State had 300 yards of rushing.
And I think Oregon's
in the Big Ten championship game?
Yeah.
And they still lost that game.
Yeah, and they still lost 45-37. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, a high-flying game, with it even being at Penn State. I think a lot of these both these teams are equal in a lot of ways. I'm going to lean Oregon in this game. And the reason I'm going to lean Oregon in this game because I think Dante Moore is a better player than Drew Aller. And I think Dan Lanning has somewhat learned from, especially last year, the playoff teams that he played. They racked 30 points against them every single game. If it's me and I'm Dan Lanning, I'm stacking the box in this football game. There's not a lot of receivers out there for Penn State that have absolutely blown the doors off for me. I think this will be somewhat last year. Give me Oregon 34, Penn State 31.
I understand that. I like Pena, though. I do think Penn State has some guys that on the outside that can make some plays. It's just, again, if you cannot stop the run, and I thought Oregon's – it's going to be interesting to see Oregon's offense at the end of this year compared to the one last year with Dylan Gabriel that we saw. That Evan Stewart injury I still think is really devastating, even though they got some good skill players. I cannot wait to watch this one. It's going to there's going to be a lot of implications, even though we're only in week five.
You know, last week I thought Texas Tech and Utah would be a close football game. Texas Tech ended up running away with that one. I thought Indiana-Illinois would be close. I mean,
yeah,
Indiana 63-10. If I told you one of these teams is going to win by three touchdowns, would you still take Penn State?
I'd take Penn State. Yeah. I'd take Penn State. Because, again, I mean, say what you want about Penn State's schedule. It hasn't been great, but I think we know who Drew Aller is. I think we know who Singleton and Allen are. I think we got a good idea who this offensive line is. How much do we really know about Oregon because of a new quarterback there and some new pieces on the outside against quality competition? Who's the best team that Oregon's played? Northwestern? Is that the best team? I would say Northwestern's better than Oregon State, right? So I think there's still a lot of questions about Oregon. I like Dante Moore, Blaine, and in some spots he's leading him and Mendoza at the top of the Heisman odds after Battier got hurt. You got to prove it to me. You got to prove it to me. All right, next game. Let's go to the Big 12. TCU going to Arizona State. Remember, TCU went on the road and beat SMU. SMU's in the ACC. Arizona State goes on the road and beats Baylor. Huge win for Kenny Dillingham and them, especially coming off the loss they suffered at Mississippi State in that crazy game. What is the line on this one, Blaine? And is the over-under at like 120?
The line right now is -2.5 Arizona State. This game is at Arizona State for the people out there with the over-under at 55.5. Money line for TCU is going off at +110.
Who do you like?
I like TCU.
You like TCU?
Yeah. And, I mean, one of the reasons why, I mean, look, Josh Heuer, what they do on offense is fantastic. I think TCU's pretty damn good on defense. With the talent that they brought back, the production they brought back, the impact guys that they have here, and I do think Arizona State is somewhat still finding themselves, even after win against Baylor, that loss against Mississippi State. Sam Leavitt has somewhat been a letdown this year. The running game slowly coming back, but you can tell they don't have Cam Scadabo. And I think TCU is a complete football team on both sides. And this, I'm just a huge Josh Heuer guy.
Yeah.
Like, I really am. I don't think it gets talked about enough, not only in the passing game, but ducking down and running the ball as well. I don't think it's going to be a problem for Arizona State. Even with this game being on the road for TCU, I think TCU clears here. Give me TCU 27, Arizona State 24.
I mean, David, TCU's road tested. I know North Carolina doesn't have great personnel, but they went on the road, obviously handled North Carolina, went on the road, handled SMU.
Arizona State, too, went on the road and handled Baylor.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, where are you leaning in this?
Well, I love both of these teams. I love both of these programs. There's no loser in my book in this game. I'm such a huge Kenny Dillingham fan. And again, to go on the road and beat my Big 12 prediction pick last week in Baylor, huge win. I'm with Blaine on this one. I think I'm going to take TCU on the road, and I felt really good about the TCU-SMU over in the Iron Skillet game. Part of why it didn't hit was because TCU's defense did clamp down. This Josh Hoover-Eric McAllister combination, which that kid had, what, 254 receiving yards a week ago, three touchdowns. Every slant he caught seemed to go to the house for a 70-yard touchdown. That kid's an incredible player. He's going to play on Sundays. I'm going to take TCU on the road right now, 31-28.
All right, I'm taking Arizona State, and I'm going to tell you why. I think the swag's coming back a little bit. I think they got the swag back last weekend after they kind of lost it going on the road and losing to Mississippi State. All credit to Mississippi State. You're able to answer in conference play, going on the road and beat a Baylor team that I think a lot of us respect. To your point on TCU, I think Josh Hoover's the most underrated quarterback in the country. I think he's an NFL player, right? And if he's not an NFL player, I think he could maybe even play Major League Baseball. He's that talented. But McAllister has been very hit or miss. Mm. Go back to the North Carolina game. Really wasn't there. You go to the SMU game. I mean, old dude's catching slants, breaking two tackles, and going for 70. I don't think Arizona State's going to bottle him up, but I don't think he's going to go nuts like he did against SMU. I think they're going to make TCU, which TCU could, use all their weapons to work down the field. But TCU's went on the road once and won, like I said, went on the road twice and won, like I said. They're due for a loss on the road. I like Sam Levitt's running, scrambling ability, not only past the line of scrimmage, but to keep plays alive. And I think this is a game where Jordan Tyson goes off. And I know there is no Scatabo. He's doing his things for the Giants. I think Arizona State wins an absolute shootout in overtime. Give me Arizona State 45, TCU 42. Okay. That's what I got. In an absolute dogfight. I'm so excited for this game. I think there's so many similarities between these teams, right? When you look at it, it's going to make it a lot of fun. All right, two more. We got an out-of-conference game here. Unbelievably interesting one. Notre Dame is going down to Fayetteville after Arkansas, God, fumbles late against Memphis to lose the game and then gets their whole defense carried like a Greyhound bus on 3rd and 8. By the Memphis quarterback. The line's what, 5.5?
-4.5, Notre Dame. Right now the money's laying with Arkansas at +4.5, -120. Money line for Arkansas is +146, over-under 64.5.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to have the over-under like that. I think both these defenses are suspect. And with Talen Green's mobility to be able to keep plays alive and run, I know Arkansas's found a way to lose games. And I think this is it for Sam Pittman. I thought this was going to be it for Sam Pittman if they went 8-4. At the end of the day, I just think it is what it is, and his time is short. But something inside, in the depths of my soul, is calling the Hogs.
Okay.
Is calling the Hogs. This Notre Dame defense, they're going to play man. That's what they're going to do. And I know there was a fumble late, like I brought up, at the running back position for Arkansas, but I like the pieces this Arkansas offense has, and I think the home crowd will be able to save them with a young quarterback going on the road in C.J. Carr. And again, I understand C.J.'s played in some big games already. I mean, hell, look at the first two games they played. But at the end of the day, I like Arkansas. I like Talen Green in another high-scoring game, 37-34 Arkansas win.
Wow. Say woo pig suey.
Woo pig suey.
I'll tell you what,
raise the backs.
If you're Notre Dame and you got to open the season going on the road to Miami, you lose that game. You host Texas A&M, you lose that game. Get things back going against Purdue. And now you got to go on the road and face Arkansas the week after they lose to Memphis. You're just like, man, what is going on? Streets. Like, what a time to go catch Arkansas the week after they lose to the Memphis Tigers. C.J. Carr is coming into his own, man. C.J. Carr is coming into his own. He's delivering the football well. I know they have great players around him, but so far, we say this all the time, there's a difference between a great football team and a team with great football players on it. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with defense, man. I don't know what's going on with Notre Dame's secondary, and they continue to play man coverage. Even in a 56-30 victory over Purdue, you gave up 30 points to Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue's doesn't have a lot of NFL players running around on offense.
I didn't think I was going to do this, man. Woo pig suey.
You're going to Arkansas, too.
Arkansas
right.
Let's go. Home. I'll go Arkansas at home.
You won't make it 3-40,
but 44-41.
Yeah.
Let's just hammer the over.
Yeah, just kill it.
Yeah, no, I think Arkansas is cursed.
Cursed?
I think they're cursed.
Like legit?
Like Harry Potter.
Really?
Like Patronus spell. curse. Some teams, it's just there's a dark cloud in Fayetteville right now, and I don't think that cloud's going anywhere. I think Notre Dame has to win every single game for the rest of the season to make the playoffs. There's no room for error anymore. And trust me, both these defenses have been an absolute letdown. Notre Dame ranks 119th in the nation in opponents' points per game. Who would have thought that before the season started? I mean, you have talent there, but will Marcus Freeman adjust? I think he's somewhat adjust in this game, and I think Jeremiah Love's is too much. I really do. Give me Notre Dame. I think it's going to be somewhat close. This spread has shot down. I'm pretty sure it started at a touchdown. I've seen it 3.5, 4.5. Give me Notre Dame 38, Arkansas 27.
The Tyson family's not going to like that.
Today is why we wear the uniform.
ABC Tuesday, The Rookie returns.
To ensure the safety of all Angelinos.
Try not to mess it up.
I'll do my best.
But don't do your best. Do my best.
And for the first time ever.
This is a global operation.
It's an international sting.
LAPD has agreed to help the FBI track down terrorist targets.
Nothing like a day in the job to remind you how quickly life can change.
Get out of there.
The Rookie, season premiere Tuesday, 10, 9 central on ABC. Next day for Hulu subscribers.
All right, let's get to the last one.
Money, so we'll be all right.
They're in a good spot. Let's go to the big one, the biggest one. The biggest one of big ones. We were at Innisfree last year in T-Town, Tuscaloosa. Live streamed this one. Just an insane game. And an absolutely Stranger Things upside down world. Insane game. Alabama's going on the road to Georgia. And Alabama, since they got embarrassed in many ways against Florida State, has answered. Now, it was against La Monroe, and it was against a Wisconsin team that Maryland just buried at home a week ago with a backup quarterback. But Ty Simpson has, you know, Kirby Smart, and a lot of people made fun of him for phrasing it like this, but it's true if you're talking about football, and Kirby was. Ty Simpson could be the hottest quarterback in the country. I mean, Hansel at the Male Model Awards, hot. And Alabama's got something to prove, and they've had Georgia's number, man. Whether it's Saban, whether it's DeBoer, they've had Georgia's number. And Georgia's defense against Tennessee just look, and all credit to Tennessee, just didn't look like the Georgia defense that we're used to seeing. And I know it's a blackout, and some people think that's a bad thing. But you know what blackout I remember? I remember Auburn going into Athens during a blackout when they had no Sean Moreno, and all they were doing was cranking that Soldier Boy on the sidelines. And it was wild. I think Alabama plays well in this game. Mm. I think they go and they fight their ass off. I think they give a ton of effort. But there's something about Gunnar Stock.
Yeah.
He may not be the best looking guy in the world.
Whoa.
Hold on. But you don't want that at quarterback. You want a pretty boy at quarterback. Give me a dude that's tough, may not have the physical attributes of some big pro style looking quarterback. You don't need that. He's tough as nails, and I don't mean that in that that's all he's good at. He's making throws on fourth down and kneeling to win the game. He can keep it and run it on the zone read. Give me Georgia. What's the line on it right now?
Minus 2.5 Georgia.
So
over
it's
under 52.5. Money line for Alabama is plus 126.
I think this is a pretty clean game from a turnover and penalty standpoint, and I think these are going to look like two damn good football teams on the field. But I picked Georgia to win this game before the season. I think the defense is embarrassed after the way they played against Tennessee. And you know if anybody can get a defense right, it's going to be Kirby Smart. So give me the Dogs at home beating Alabama for, what would that be, the only second time that Kirby's beaten them? Second or third time, something like that? Give me Georgia and give me the final score of, give me 24-23, 1-point win at home. And I think it's going to be a little bit more defensive than what people
think. Okay, more defensive.
Yeah.
Okay. Georgia versus Alabama in between the hedges. What more do you want on a Saturday night? And yeah, like you said, man, Alabama's biggest test of the season so far, you go and get embarrassed in Doak Campbell. Georgia's biggest test of the year so far, you go up to Neyland and you find a way to win on 4th and 6 with Gunnar Stockton on that switch release fade route, put the game away.
London Humphreys.
And you add in the fact that Georgia's at home. There's a lot to like about the Georgia pick right now. But let's just hold up for a second, okay?
The reverse.
I understand that Alabama nor Florida State have either been tested as much since that first game. But the way they've performed against the teams that they've played, tells me that this wasn't a bad Alabama team that lost to an average Florida State team. Tells me that this is a good Alabama team that lost to a better Florida State team. And while Ty Simpson looked like a deer in headlights for three quarters in that game, he looked good early on that first drive. And since then, he's what, 41 of 46?
Yeah, he's got
over
insane.
600 yards passing. Hasn't thrown an interception yet this year. Maybe it's just because I was in Bryant-Denny and I felt the electricity at the Wisconsin game, but there's something about the Alabama team right now, the program and the fan base, that I think is really confident as they head in to play Georgia in between the hedges. This is the one we get to find out, right? You're not Alabama because you can beat Wisconsin or you can beat Troy or you can beat South Alabama. It's can you go on the road and beat what I think is the best head coach in college football in Kirby Smart. I'm going to take the Alabama Crimson Tide in an upset win on the road, 34-31.
Oof. It's high scoring last year. Ooh. All right.
What are you going to do?
Finish this off. Last game to pick. Oh. Biggest game to pick.
This isn't just a game, fellas.
It's life.
It's a statement. Mm. The South's final word. And usually this game right here somewhat decides who's going to win the SEC. Well, in the past, I think 7-8. Yeah. The winner of this game has won the SEC. And look, I get it. Ty Simpson's hot right now. He's Hansel. Right? You beat ULM. Shout out Vincent. We could get eight guys together and do that. You beat Wisconsin. I mean, Luke Fickell should be fired into the moon at this point. We all know that. That was good. That was good and all. Am I impressed? No. And look, I know Georgia gave up 40 or whatever it was to Tennessee on the road. Somewhat weird. They were getting beat between the tackles. I don't think we're going to see that this Saturday. I think we're going to see a Kirby Smart coach defense ready to play between the hedges in a blackout. In a blackout, I'm not going to be at the game, and I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Right? You can look, I think getting Tim Keenan back for Alabama is huge.
It is.
Especially between the tackles.
And Jam Miller.
Sure. But what Gunnar Stockton showed me, what was the only question I had walking into this season for Georgia is, can Gunnar Stockton do it? And damn it, he's broke the ceiling and doing it. Give me Georgia at home, Kirby Smart. I think Alabama plays well, and I also think it's somewhat high scoring. Give me Georgia 27, Alabama 24, Georgia game-winning kick at the end of the game.
Mm. Wow. God, I just hope we get really good games. You know, some of these games we've been building up have turned into, like, blowouts. I just want good games. Georgia-Bama, Oregon-Penn State, Auburn A&M, LSU. Give us good games. I want to not know the end of the book till I read it. I don't want to know it at halftime.
And I'm saying this. Like, Kalen DeBoer's life's on the line in this game. You can say what you want.
Professional life.
You can say what you want.
Professional life.
Maybe. You can say what you want. If Alabama loses this game, they're going to come for his head.
What?
I'm telling you, Alabama.
What if they lose by, like, a point?
Shit don't matter. You lost. You lost. They're going to come for his head. You thought the Florida State panic was something. Now just add that on top of it. If they lose to Georgia, I'm just telling you, there's going to be
through Alabama the rest of their schedule.
There's going to be picket fences outside of Kalen torches outside of Kalen DeBoer's house.
There probably already is a picket fence.
All right, right now you have at Georgia.
Yep.
All right, then you have Vanderbilt at home, at Missouri, Tennessee at home. At South Carolina.
Huh?
LSU at home.
Ugh.
Oklahoma at home.
Wow. Material will be back by then.
Eastern Illinois at home.
You'll kill them.
And then you get to go play those tards down in Auburn.
Dude, if they drop this one, like David, if they lose this one, they're going to lose four games.
10-2.
It's, do you think they just...
college football playoff.
It's like it's a must win. For Alabama,
in many ways, man, you got to stay alive in that hunt.
I'm telling you, they're the Soviet Union, all right. If they see their own plane crash, the people start asking questions.
Yeah,
man, we're throwing out must wins in week five.
Yeah,
hey, look,
sign me up.
Welcome to it. All right, we want to know in the comments. Give us your picks. Go in, yeah. I can tell you're already going to be yelling at us for some. But just an absolutely fantastic weekend of college football. We will be doing an instant reaction right after the Auburn A&M and Georgia-Alabama game, so make sure you check that out. Going to have the full Sunday recap as well on Sunday morning. Y'all know how that works, so make sure you're locked in. Go check out all the previews that we have. Again, we put out our college football playoff ranking video, where it stands right now, our power rankings overall, which those are two totally different things. Make sure you check those bad boys out. We appreciate you. And like the chances of me just... God, I'm ready for, what is it, Army East Carolina on Thursday? Can we just get football here? It sucks without it. I don't even know what to watch on TV. Make sure you keep watching us, though. We appreciate it. Like the chances of me not being excited, and us and the college football world and the human race not being excited about this weekend's slate of games. We're going. Ooh, that one turned late.
Well done.
Gone. Thank you. It's a slice.